kboo.fm/give. Thank you for supporting your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
And stay tuned for Art Focus. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland Saturday Market. Open daily December 17 through December 24 for the Festival of the Last Minute. Saturday Market offers handmade art, crafts, and other gifts created by artists from the Pacific Northwest and is located at Southwest Ankeny and NATO Parkway in Waterfront Park. Information at PortlandSaturdayMarket.com.
Good morning and welcome to Art Focus. I'm Kathleen Stevenson, and here with me in studio are three artists from Waterstone Gallery. I'm speaking with Portland metal worker Greg Wilbur.
Hi, Kathleen.
Morning, Greg. Also with us is printmaker and sculptor Keeney Rathman, who is the director of the Waterstone Gallery. Welcome.
Good morning.
And also with us is Lisa Kaiser of the Waterstone Gallery. She is a multimedia artist. Thanks for coming in, Lisa.
Thank you, Kathleen.
We're going to be talking about the Art of the Alphabet. That's a group show of gallery artists at Waterstone this month. It opens today, is that right? Is it
That's
open?
Right.
Okay. And it goes through January 4th.
Correct.
So let's talk about the gallery first. Waterstone is a cooperatively run gallery run by the artists represented. How does that work?
Well, there are 17 of us, and the gallery was founded in 1992. There are 17 of us that we all own and run the gallery. So we each have, in addition to making our own work and showing it, we all have different tasks that help run the organization.
Mm-hmm. And is it a varying group of people? How do you decide who is part of the organization?
It has changed over time. I've actually been a member maybe for 15 or so years. There are some members, one or two still, that are from the very first few years of the gallery. We do have a jurying process. We have people can submit their work, and then there's a subcommittee that we have that meet with them, and then they sort of reduce the number of people that have submitted for an opening, and then it's then put up to a vote of all the members about who we replace a member with. So we don't want any more than what we have. It's a small gallery, and that seems to be our optimum number, is about 17 artists.
Mm-hmm. And Lisa, how long have you been part of the gallery?
I was with the gallery for a couple of years, and I'm no longer with the gallery, but I came in with the idea for the book that is being launched here this month. So the membership was kind enough to keep me on board. And so even though I'm no longer a member, I will be having pieces and be part of the book.
And we'll talk about the book in just a moment. But Greg, how about you? How long have you been participating?
5 years. And came right in there, and I've been on the hanging committee either, and now I'm sort of running the hanging committee.
Absolutely.
And the hanging committee is the committee that decides how the show is hung, or what else do they do?
Well, there's a certain routine, and we definitely, whoever is going to be showing has some input if they want it, and most want it a little bit. Some people want it totally, like Keeney pretty much does his own organizing, but not everybody. So,
and is that how everything gets done? Is a member does a job that needs to happen to keep the gallery going? Is that generally the operating principle?
Absolutely. Yeah, and often we have more than one hat. So in addition to being the director, I'm also sort of the head of the marketing committee. And so that actually has sort of long-term planning for how we want to use opportunities.
Mm-hmm. And what are the challenges with running a gallery of this kind?
Wow. Well, so we're there are a lot. Any gallery, of course, is very difficult to keep going. There's very high expenses. Of course, during the recession, sales were sales-based, of course. That's the major one, is how do you fund the projects that you want to take on? I'd say that's the major problem. And then we have changed dramatically over the 20-some years that we've been around in terms of who the members were and what they wanted out of the gallery, and now who the gallery members are now and what they want out of the gallery. And so generally, I think we have changed in a much more our view has widened maybe to be try to be more regional and national in influence, perhaps, than we were when we started.
Did you want to add something there, Greg? You look like
problems. Challenges. Is that what we were talking about?
Just the challenges of working in this kind of.
I think it's really good. Lots of personalities and artists. We all think we're no things that others don't, perhaps. But we've helped. I think we've mentored a lot of young ones or naive-ish type people through things. That it's been pretty cool. Mm-hmm. We got some good people.
And you're in the Pearl, and the Pearl has certainly experienced lots of changes. The neighborhood has changed. Has that impacted how the gallery operates, or how has that happened?
It has. This is the second location for the gallery. It was originally in a different building off the park blocks, and that was converted to condos about 15 years ago, and so of course we had to relocate. And where we are currently was the center of the galleries at that time 15 years ago. Of course, if you go to where we are now, which is Gleason and 12th, most of the galleries have migrated either down to 9th or down to the DeSoto building, which is where the Contemporary Crafts Museum is. There's nodes of galleries have altered over time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So do you find yourself having to, kind of adjust to that and make...
Absolutely. So, again, as that process of changing of how the gallery operates over time, one of the things is that we used to depend on walk-in traffic. And, of course, we now are more of a destination gallery, mm-hmm. meaning we actually... Our relationships with our clients and collectors is much more important. Yes, we still do depend on walk-in traffic, but it's much more about developing those relationships.
You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. We're talking about Waterstone Gallery, and this month Waterstone Gallery is hosting an exhibit. It's called The Art of the Alphabet, and I was going to ask how that became the theme, but I found out before the interview that Lisa is the person that developed that theme. So Lisa, tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it came out in a brainstorming session at our annual retreat, and it usually happens in January, and at that time there's opportunities to bring forth ideas, for upcoming group shows. And my background in part deals with illustration and the book arts, and we're always trying to think of ideas that incorporate, of course, everyone and in a new format. And my suggestion was a book and something small format that would be kind of a nice gift idea. Also, not that that's a driving factor, but December usually, with the group shows, sometimes the emphasis is on smaller work, something that can be, it's a little more affordable, have a greater appeal, as far as just something different to present to the public. So the book idea, I thought it was a good idea and brought it on, and it had a pretty good response. And it just took hold. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of
how it came about. And we have a copy of the book on the table, and it is the cover image is Greg's piece, and it's called A is for Apple, and it's beautiful. It's one of the things that drew me to talking to you all is just the beauty of that image.
Thank you.
And Greg, do you want to maybe talk about that right now, that particular image and the work that you do? We'll talk about each of your work.
Well, I can't remember when we did this, but one of our meetings, we have a meeting every first Thursday, just before the openings of all the things. I picked A, I think I picked A and Z and was going to do Z with somebody else, and my idea was not accepted for that Z, so I made the apple. And I raise metal, I hammer metal, and I've done some trips into Japan mostly and seen some things that I really wanted to do and was never able to do them. And this apple actually is pretty close to about as small as little teeny opening at the top as I've ever done in it.
How big is it?
It's 3x4. It's, you know, you could eat it if you could. If you could. So I closed that in and almost pulled off a... It's a nice piece, but it's not exactly where I wanted to go with it. I'm a craftsman, and I have this thing, this fantasy thing that I don't know. I think those Japanese cheat. I think is what the real deal is. So anyway, and it's nice, and I was really proud of it. And Dan Kvik took a great picture of it, and it's nice.
Yeah, so it is the cover image of the book that Lisa was talking about. And the book is available for sale as part of this exhibit. That's
correct. And actually, the preview opening is tomorrow night, and the artists will all be there. And so you can actually have any or all of the artists sign it tomorrow night if you so choose.
Great, great. And that, again, is at Waterstone, which is, what is the address of Waterstone?
424 Northwest 12th Avenue.
So, Lisa, you have an image. What letter did you choose in the art of the alphabet?
I chose V and W with the idea initially that I was going to do a Volkswagen. And I was going to have it do a double-page spread. And that changed as we decided to really do individual pages for each letter. So... I then opted for doing two of the different mediums that I work in. One is a watercolor collage. So my V is vintage. And that kind of is a good representation of my illustration work and extended narrative, which is on that page. It's vintage trailers. And then my W is a 3D piece, mixed media, small little character, and that's W for winsome. And so my little character is a very little, I don't know, he's kind of a...
Cute.
So those are my two pages and my two letters.
And I've seen your work in the past, and it's almost like mysterious to me, your figures. They're... When you look at them, when I first looked at them, I wondered, is it clay? Is it, what is the medium that she is using? And so I find them very intriguing. Do you want to talk about how you make those somewhat enigmatic figures?
Well, the 3D work developed about 15 years ago. I started out as a textile artist working in felts. And hand-stitched textiles. But I've always done drawing, and my drawing deals a lot with characters. And I reached a point where I wanted to bring them to life. So I just started using materials that I was attracted to, a lot of organic materials. And so a lot of my felt is used, and I create armatures with street sweeper bristles. That I collect on my walks, and I shape those and sew materials to that. And I've recently discovered oak galls. A friend passed along some, and it was wonderful to carve into and embed materials
into.
Say
that again, oak galls?
Oak galls. They come out of, they're the result of a gall wasp that plants its eggs in an oak tree, And usually it's the, I don't know what, it's the old, like, golden oak. It's not all oak varieties seem to be attract gall wasps, but you'll see them up in the oak trees, especially in the fall when the leaves fall. And they're these odd little, oh gosh, they're just these odd roundish flesh-colored orbs that will fall to the ground eventually, but a lot of them stay up in the tree. And so the gall wasp embeds its on the limb of an oak tree, and the oak tree, in response to this irritant, grows this housing over it. And so it's the symbiotic relationship. The gall wasp then hatches out of that, eats its way out of the gall, and flies off. And then you've got these amazing little, I mean, they really are amazing. So that's what I use. I dry them, I cure them, and then assemble them. And usually they get lots of wax, beeswax, just natural beeswax that encases them. So that's kind of why you might see them as being ceramic, because you don't really know what the material is, because there's lots and lots of layers, and sometimes pigment added and other materials on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, many things I would not have known about.
I could go on. Avocado skins. That's another one. But anyway.
And that was Lisa Kaiser, and we also heard from Greg Wilbert, two artists in the Waterstone Gallery and part of the Art of the Alphabet group show. And Keeney, you do a variety of media in the show. What did you choose to focus on with the letter and the piece in this show?
Sure. My letter is Y, and the title is The Tropical Nature of Yellow. So there are lots of obvious things that are yellow that are in the artwork. The media that I used for this piece is a bas-relief carving. And it's a media that I've been using just about a year or so. I've been a screen printmaker for about 40 years and a found wood construction sculptor for about 30. And I do other things as well. But over the years, my wood sculptures have sort of migrated to the walls and have become sort of bas-reliefs themselves, but sort of maybe deeper bas-relief. And this, someone had gifted me with some Mexican retablo frames, and that, and I, you know, in trying to solve how to use those, I came across, I finally decided to carve into linoleum blocks. And I'm not pulling prints from them, I'm actually just painting them. But it gives me the ability to incise different kinds of lines and textures. So for me, I sort of think of it as a cross between my printmaking and my sculpture in this new media that I've been experimenting with.
Mm-hmm. It really pops.
Oh, thank you.
And your imagery, is it generally autobiographical?
It is. My work is autobiographical. They're sort of personal stories that I try to make them so specific that they become universal. They're often very gestural. They're really talking about, they're metaphorical, so they're about, it may be a picture of a flower, or that this is not true, but it's an exaggeration. But it really is really more about what my relationship is to the flower, or it's a symbol of, say, it's a dying flower. It's really all of my work is a symbol or a metaphor for something else that I'm experiencing in my life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that was Keeney Rathbun. He is the director of the Waterstone Gallery, and he is part of this exhibit and this book, The Art of the Alphabet. There are, we mentioned the event, the opening reception and book release party tomorrow night, 6 to 8 p.m. at the gallery. And there is also a guest speaker on Sunday, December 14th. What's happening then?
So Jim Carman, who is the Special Collections Librarian from Multnomah County Library, was invited by one of our members to actually write the introduction for the book. And so, and it is a very elegant introduction about what an ABC book is and what its role has been through history. And so he's going to come and speak about this topic and probably share a lot more of his knowledge about the tradition of books and relationships of artists to books over history.
Mm. And that, again, is on the 14th, and that is at 11 a.m. in the gallery also.
That's correct.
Okay. So, Greg, you, as you mentioned, you did the hanging of the show. Talk a little bit about the show in general. We've talked about you three artists and your representative work. What can you say about the show in general?
Well, first off, I have a crew, and it's a really good crew. It's not me that okay. does this. And we're getting, I think, better all the time. The show, well, we didn't do it like A, B, C. You know, we didn't put them around like that. We kind of worked on the aesthetics of what that show is. Images are small. We have some movable walls in there so we can shorten up areas to make the stuff in the back, which is great. Each person gets a piece or two in the back, and they wouldn't necessarily get one in the front. Small images. I think Lisa mentioned affordability, maybe. I would say everybody's kind of dead on as what they generally do. I think pretty much you wouldn't, if you know the artist, you know that that person did it. So I can't think of anything.
So this is a little different in this exhibit because we knew we were going to do a book. The format of the book determined what we asked the artist to produce. So, for example, it's a square book, and so all the 2D artists were asked to do an artwork that is square. If they're a 3D artist, then we asked that the photo needed to be done in a way that it could be presented in a square format. One of our artists, Kamala Dolphin Kingsley, is a photographer, and so she did most of the photographs in the book to standardize it as well. So everybody took their letter, and then they all went in their own direction. Some people actually used the letter in the artwork. Some people didn't. So it's really all over the place. With artists, as you might imagine, creativity is often not within limits. It's sort of going wherever that might take them. So giving the artists some stricture often can induce pushback, which means you get sort of all sorts of embellishing around what the stricture is. And that's actually kind of delightful. Mm-hmm. And so you're seeing quite a range of work in this show mm-hmm. and in the book.
And do you have any thoughts, Lisa, on how the book relates to the show, having worked on the book as your primary aspect of this show?
How the book relates to the show? You know, I haven't seen actually the show installed yet. Uh-huh. I delivered my work on Sunday, and last month's show was coming down, so I'll see it for the first time tomorrow when I come in. And that's always interesting because this will be different. People will be seeing the book, you know, as read as an alphabet. So, and there's a lot of mystery to the book because even though the letter, each letter corresponds to then the page and the work, it's not always revealed what's being said. You know, how that letter is being utilized. In some it's more obvious. But that's kind of cool. So I'm a little interested to know, outside of the labeling of the work, how, you know, Greg and the committee decided to put the show together. Mm-hmm. So that will be really interesting, especially if it's not reading A through Z. Mm-hmm. So that part, though, I think that's what's fun about ABC books is that, especially artist books, there's so much to explore, and it can be appreciated, especially this book. It's going to be, I think, appreciated by children and by artists as well, and adults who want to see yet another take on how one interprets the letter and the word that they choose.
It should be an interesting opening, if nothing else, with people talking about how they approached their letter.
It will be so fun to see, to actually talk to the people, because you're just getting that visual in the book and then whatever they offer in the title. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, what you draw from it. And
then that talk that's coming up, it'll be interesting to see what he says.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And at the opening, by the way, as a little fun moment, all of the artists are bringing food that starts with the letter that they were assigned in the book.
Oh, I was going to do vindaloo, but I'm not going to now. I may just do veggie sticks.
Are you bringing apples?
I think I'll bring a sack of apples.
So, beyond the show this month, what's the future for the Waterstone Gallery? What can we say about looking at the future of the Waterstone Gallery?
I actually think it's pretty bright. As I said, we joined the Portland Art Dealers Association about 4 years ago, I think. And that sort of, we were really wanting to connect with the other major galleries in town to coordinate and schedule programming farther out into the future. And that is what's happened. And so we often get an advantage of that is we know what's going to be happening. We can schedule. We can have a voice in how that's done. We learn a lot about art fairs that are going on or other things that are happening nationally, which are all stepping stones for us as artists to broaden our knowledge as, in addition to being artists, as our business sense, mm-hmm. which is really important for a gallery.
Mm-hmm. And we just have a couple more minutes. Is there anything that you feel is important to add to our conversation here before we do end talking about the art of the alphabet and the Waterstone Gallery?
I'm sure to check the back room, not just the front room. That would be good.
He's referring to the fact that our gallery is broken into two separate spaces, and there's always artwork in the back by all of our artists up every month.
Yeah, and the gallery is small, so I think you guys have mastered the art of, getting a lot out of a small space.
Yes, and obviously the limitation is we can't do a lot of large work, but there is an intimacy to the gallery that I think, which is one of the things I love about it, is that it's you can have a smallish piece in there or even do an installation in the space, and it really does resonate very personally.
Well, I want to thank you all for coming in and talking about your work and talking about the gallery, and remind people again, we are talking about Waterstone Galleries, the Art of the Alphabet group show starts today. It's up, and the opening reception is tomorrow from 6 to 8. There is also, at the event, there will be the book release party. We've been talking about that also, the Art of the Alphabet. And also coming up, the speaker that we mentioned before, the speaker on Sunday, December 14th, Jim Carman. And is John Wilson also going to be there? I have that in my notes.
Oh, actually, I'm not aware of that.
Okay. Well, at least Jim Carman will be there. And that will be a talk about the alphabet book and alphabets in general, and it sounds very interesting. So thank you again, Greg Wilbur, metalworker.
Thank you very much, Greg.
Lisa Kaiser, multimedia artist. Thank you, Lisa.
Thanks so much, Kathleen.
And thank you, Keeney Rathbun, sculptor and printmaker and director of the gallery. Thank you so much for
Thanks
coming.
Thanks for having us today. Thanks so much.
This is Kathleen Stevenson. Stay tuned for Buscando America here on KBOO Portland. And if you want to hear this program again, or if you missed any of it, you can go to our website, kboo.fm, and click on Art Focus. And remember, it is Giving Tuesday. Thanks very much.
And that concludes Tuesday Morning Radio Zine. Stay tuned now for the noon headlines on KBOO Portland.
And now for the KBOO News at Noon for Tuesday, December 2nd, 2014. Spanish headlines will follow these English language news headlines. This afternoon at 2 p.m. at Portland City Hall, the city will hear the report of two independent contractors who have been researching excessive force by Portland police in recent shooting incidents. In addition, the city says they will address the multiple complaints that were filed yesterday following police attacks on a Ferguson solidarity protest this past weekend. In addition to the hearing this afternoon, another presentation will take place in City Council tomorrow at 2 p.m., also on the breaches of protocol by Portland police in recent officer-involved shootings. In national news, three Obama administration officials say Ashton Carter is the leading candidate for Secretary of Defense. Under condition of anonymity, as the president's selection is not yet public, these officials confirmed earlier speculation that Carter is one of the only remaining candidates. This comes after two of Carter's rivals for the post, former Undersecretary of Defense for Policy Michelle Flournoy and Senator Jack Reed, took themselves out of the running. This will mark the fourth new Secretary of Defense in the last 6 years. That's it for the KBOO News at Noon. Stay tuned every evening at 5 for more national, local, and international news produced by volunteers right here in our Portland studios.
Y a continuación, escucharás un corte informativo en español para el día 2 de diciembre de 2014. Con la consigna Manos arriba, no disparen, continúan las protestas tras la decisión de un jurado de no procesar al policía que mató a Michael Brown el pasado agosto en Ferguson, Missouri. Estudiantes de preparatoria y universidad han encabezado manifestaciones, vigilias, marchas y hay un paro estudiantil en más de 30 ciudades de Estados Unidos. El caso ha cobrado aún más fuerza tras la muerte del niño de 12 años, Tamir Rice, a manos de la policía en un parque de Cleveland. Estos dos casos ya se han vuelto más que una reacción sobre la prevalencia del racismo en este país y contra el sistema de justicia.